On today's part of my take, the Masters, Hideki Matsuyama, first champion from an Asian country. Japan has their green jacket. Awesome story. And we have a full recap of the Masters. We have Scott Van Pelt from Augusta, as is a tradition unlike any other. Scott Van Pelt calling us while he walks through the woods in Augusta, Georgia. We have Who's Back of the Week, and we have a Monday reading. A great Monday show for everyone, and we're brought to you by our friends at Black Rifle Coffee Company. It is a veteran-owned coffee company serving premium coffee to people who love America. Veteran CEO and founder Evan Hafer spent over 7 years on the ground overseas with U.S. Special Forces and as a CIA contractor. Evan even modified his gun trucks during the invasion of Iraq to grind coffee anywhere. That's a guy who loves coffee. I love coffee. Coffee makes the world go round. Black Rifle Coffee is delicious coffee. They sent us a bunch. It is very good. They also have cans. I like to hit that can in the morning when you don't have enough time to brew a fresh pot. So check out Black Rifle Coffee. They import high-quality coffee beans from all over the world and roast 5 days a week at their facilities in Manchester, Tennessee, and Salt Lake City, Utah. The team at Black Rifle Coffee is continually researching and experimenting with new roasting methods and coffee origins, and they donated more than 6 million cups of coffee to deployed soldiers in 2020, so you can do the Buy a Bag, Give a Bag initiative. The best way to enjoy Black Rifle Coffee is by joining the coffee club. You pick your perfect roast, how much and when you want delivered to your door, and they take care of the rest. It's free to sign up, and you get free shipping, discounts, and partner brands, and early access to new products and club-exclusive products. So check it out, Black Rifle Coffee. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use code TAKE at checkout today and get the freshest coffee in America shipped to you, blackriflecoffee.com. Use promo code TAKE at checkout and get that freshest coffee in America shipped to you. Who doesn't love coffee? It's Monday morning. You need your coffee. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use promo code TAKE and you get the freshest coffee in America shipped to you. Okay, let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by BlackRifleCoffee.com. Use code TAKE. Go there and become a coffee lover. You should be a coffee lover. Today is Monday, April 12th, and I wanted to just point out, I'm not going to point fingers or anything, but I'm the only one wearing red for Tiger.
I have red on
me. So, I don't know. I thought we were...
Well, I'll just.
It is Masters Sunday, and I.
That's a sneaky move, Big Cat.
Well, I.
It was a sneaky
it's
move.
It's not that sneaky. I thought
you
we all
could
agreed.
Have texted We'd, the group thread.
We would wear red every single Sunday until Tiger is in another Masters.
I think Tiger would have won this Masters, I'll be honest with you.
I agree.
So, yeah. Actually, when you said in the intro, the first Asian person to win a Masters tournament
from
Tiger,
Asia.
Tiger Woods.
From Asia.
From Asia, yes.
So from Asia.
It,
so.
It was actually. It was a cool moment at the end when,
very
his,
cool.
when his caddy bowed to the course.
Yes.
Ultimate respect for Augusta.
Oh, there we go. Hank now has his red on, so welcome to the show. Hideki Matsuyama is your Masters champion 2021.
I'm wearing black for Prince Philip.
There we go. Gone too soon.
Respect.
Gone way too soon. But yeah, it was kind of a snoozer of a Masters. Very cool story in that Hideki Matsuyama is the first... Asian-born player to win a Masters, first time, obviously Japan, 85 years. The fact that like a guy has entire country, like hopes and dreams resting on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he fucking does it.
Yeah,
like I think about like the pressure of these moments, and then you add in that, and it's like incredible. And he won it somewhat easily.
Yeah, so there was a moment on the first tee where it was like, is the moment too big? Is he going to choke this way? Then he bailed himself out on that hole. I think he salvaged a bogey, right?
But yep.
He was like way off in the woods on that first tee shot.
That first tee shot was very relatable.
Yes. Because
it was like you could tell he's sitting there. He has an unreal second, back nine. We're golf guys. I was going to say second nine, but I meant back nine on Saturday.
Moving day,
which a lot of people were confused what moving
day
meant.
No, moving day is a real thing.
Yes. A lot of people thought it might be movie day, which it also kind of is, but it's moving day. He sits overnight with a 4-stroke lead and then comes out and just totally biffs his drive. And it was a very relatable moment of like, you probably were thinking about this way too much, dude.
It is fucked up that they make you tee off in front of everybody.
Yes.
Like, that's got to be, the nerves in that situation have to be bad. And then he almost choked it away on the back nine.
Yep.
But then
Second nine.
Xander Schauffele bailed him out by choking harder than he choked. And it was for like maybe 5 seconds, it looked like we might have some competition going into the back three holes, aim and corner, as we call it.
Yeah.
He pulled
the last three innings.
The last
is what
three,
they call it.
Yes, the final third of the golf course. But he played the best golf all week, and it was very cool to see. I'm actually very excited to see what the Masters dinner is going to be like next year.
Yes.
If I'm Hideki, I serve blowfish liver.
Ooh.
And let the chips fall where they may, maybe thin out the field a little bit.
Holy shit.
See who gets poisoned.
Yeah. That would be okay. I like that. I like what you're thinking there. I was reading up about Hideki after he won. He's a notoriously private guy, so not a lot out there about him. But he was asked on Saturday. There was a 77-minute weather delay, and a reporter asked him what he did during it, and he said he sat in his car and looked at his cell phone. So as far as I'm concerned, this guy is us.
Awesome.
And I love him. Yes. Yeah, like just getting lost in your cell phone instead of, stretching or keeping loose.
Uh-huh.
He's just like, no, I'm gonna check out some memes. I'm going to look at Twitter.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to hop back on the course.
I did read one article about him. That's a lie. I read two paragraphs of an article about him.
That's good for you, dude.
And he loves sake. That's his defining characteristic.
So Rick Riley's tweet was okay.
Rick Riley really mailed that one in.
He really did.
Even by Rick Riley terms when he said, Hideki will never have to buy another sake in Tokyo.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, okay, he's actually not from Tokyo.
Yep.
I think he's actually from a city called Matsuyama.
Oh, okay.
They should just say that the city is now named after him.
It is.
After he won.
It is official.
Riley, I don't know if that even counts as, he like pigeon delivered that one in.
No, he farted that one out. He was already, he was sitting on the beach, or he was sitting on, what is it, Lake Cuomo?
Yeah.
Lake Cuomo.
Riley didn't really care for that, but I'll tell you what, we should also say the real winner of this Masters, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
Competing on
one
leg.
Hero.
Like a warrior.
Walking paralyzed man.
Exactly. So the fact he was even able to get out there and play two rounds of golf.
Yes.
That's impressive.
There was a lot of discussion on Friday about our classification of Brooks as a hero. I don't know where these people are coming from. For my entire life, I've known a hero is someone who plays 36 holes on a hurt knee.
Mm-hmm. Injured.
That's a hero.
Injured knee.
He
was injured.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think, so Xander Schauffele flirted with it. You alluded to it. There were maybe 3 minutes of compelling Masters.
Yeah.
No, I should take that back. Because at the beginning.
And while Hideki was like kind of going through it when he had that double bogey or whatever it was, that was compelling. So in the process and then right after until Xander hit his tee shot.
And my guy Will Zalatoris, who we got to talk about in a second, who he came out birdie. So that was exciting. But yeah, there was like a 5-minute span where it was like, oh my God, Hideki's in the drink. Schauffele's going to maybe get, it's within 2 strokes. I thought to myself, is there a chance that if Xander Schauffele wins the Masters, does Jim Nance drop and X going to give it to you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, it was going to be Faldo. It was going to be the Patrick Reed.
All right.
Imagine
in honor
Dragons.
Of DMX, who tragically passed away.
Yes.
Do you think he was thinking that?
I think Faldo had it queued up in his head. I think that instead of saying like lightning in the thunder, and the thunder and the lightning and the thunder, it was going to be Faldo saying like either X going to give it to you Or there was another one that he had queued up. I'm trying to remember what the other big line that I was thinking, because I was thinking the exact same thing.
I like your take, by the way, that Nick Faldo might have a more nappable voice than Jim Nantz.
I think he does.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
It's softer now. Jim Nantz, you can tell he's amped up whenever he's in Augusta. Like that, this is Jim Nantz's vacation that he takes every year, is when he's actually working at Augusta. So he's like, he's excited. Don't get me wrong, it's still the same ASMR for dads where it will put you to sleep. But when I hear Faldo, it's like you just hit me in the face with like a gram of Dramamine.
Yes.
And I'm just like, I'm just freebasing NyQuil at that point.
I also like Sir Nick Faldo, mm-hmm. Sir Nick Faldo's ability to be the gatekeeper of all of golf. He oftentimes drops like a R game, and I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. I like that we have a gatekeeper out there watching over for us. I also, I love the Masters. Everyone loves the Masters. It's great. It sucked that it wasn't super exciting down the stretch, but I did. Will Zalatoris was my guy. I was riding him like a horse. I was hoping that he was gonna, come through. He's the one to watch. I think we need to get him on the show. I think we need to add him to our stable of Brooks, Max Homa, and I think Will Zalatoris is. I think he's ready.
Adam Sandler bump.
He got the Adam Sandler bump.
He's just got like a hilarious frame to him. It's like, you know how you always say Michael Phelps' body was made to be a swimmer?
Mm-hmm.
His body was made to be a golfer. No shoulders or torso whatsoever. Long arms.
And he's, just the torque.
Just the torque on that.
Spin rate.
He looks like if Billy had taken up TikTok instead of sports.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. If he stands sideways, you can't see him.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy how skinny he is. So I think we're going to have to add him to the stable. I also, I felt like a total fucking idiot when people were tweeting about the Adam Sandler thing on Saturday, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had created a meme that was like, he was in Happy Gilmore. And I was like, holy fuck. And I almost retweeted. I was like, you fucking asshole. Like,
yeah.
That movie came out 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like 24 years old. So credit to me for not doing that. But it was he is the guy who won who didn't win.
Yeah, and it was fun hearing Jim Nantz say he's Latouris.
Yes.
That was just erotic. No bonks, but
no, that's a bonk.
In a platonic way, it was hot.
Yeah.
It
was hot. Other things.
I've got a Colin Cowherd take.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I think that Augusta National is the Kardashians of golf courses.
Mm.
Because everyone talks about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly manicured. It always makes sure that it's presented in its best light. You know, they always go, they even, with the papers that they give you, if they give you like a wrapping paper for a pimento cheese sandwich or a barbecue sandwich, that's green. So even if it falls on the ground, you don't see all the trash getting blown around.
Yep.
They always make sure that it's always got its best foot forward, and they will go out of their way to make sure that it is never presented in like a frumpy light. You know, they take care of maintaining the image of the golf course.
Yep.
And they probably both won't let Lamar Odom onto their property.
That's true. That is also true.
So that's my Colin Cowherd take.
I like that. I remember what I was going to say. Matsuyama. So he wins the Masters, 85 years, waiting for the green jacket, Japan, all this stuff. I also think that like he is the most... That was the most successful run that someone has ever had wearing their sunglasses on the back of their hat.
So not only were they on the back, but they were on the back and upside down. Like, it was fucking badass.
Right. Like that move is usually for a guy with truck nuts who's going to road rage and probably inhale some computer duster. Right. Like mm-hmm. that's a totally different type of guy who's wearing their sunglasses backwards or upside down on the back of their hat. And so he doing that, like that's, there's got to be a group of guys who are probably way too sunburned and have the coconut shell necklace. Yeah, the pukas squeezing the life out of them, cheering in their trailer, being like, he did it for us.
I would say it's like it's a chubbier guy move too.
Yeah.
Like a guy with a goatee. Kind of like the Chris Moneymaker type face. That guy probably usually rocks them upside down backwards. The only time that most sunglasses guys, and I speak as one, who would ever, I would never even think to like going backwards and upside down.
Yeah, so it's a power move.
I might have to start rocking a second pair that's just kept backwards.
Like that guy, I feel like a guy who wears his sunglasses like that is just like underwater in debt but has a sick boat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, can't keep up with his mortgage, but he just fucking added another 450 horsepower to his boat.
Yeah, you know how, like, sometimes they tell you that if you're in a place in the world that has a large tiger population, you wear a mask that has eyes on the back of your head to keep the tigers away? With him, you put those on the back of your head. Like, if somebody's wearing sunglasses on the back of their head, it's just to keep cops away from
Right. Everyone who's
like,
listening.
Like, I can see you.
Yeah, everyone who's listening to this podcast in Jacksonville, Florida right now is just nodding along. Uh-huh. Being like, yep, yeah, my boat is sick. So I'll figure future me problem for the house I can't afford.
I would also say that we should probably give some credit to the golf cameraman.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you forget what a difficult job that must be to be able to track the ball in midair and have it perfectly in the front. Do they have like software that helps them do that? Hank, do you have any idea?
I don't think so.
They're always just like straight on point with it. I have no idea how it's done.
I'm kind of out on the HD camera though, the super HD.
It doesn't hit the same in all places.
It doesn't
like it hits
really
great on NFL.
Right.
UFC was weird because there was no fans.
Right. This one's like, okay, so it's just a dude in a, like, they actually did a couple with fan shots. It's like, so I'm just looking at a slightly overweight, middle-aged white dude with a polo. Like, I could just look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That would be super HD, right?
Yeah.
More than slightly overweight.
Also, Faldo had a very, excuse me, Sir Nick had very Jake-like
especially
take today.
As Prince Philip is lying in state.
He was probably knighted by Prince Philip.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So, Jake, did you catch this when Sir Nick? This was on like,
you know what? Let's
hole nine.
Before we do this, let's just say that the rest of this show is honoring Prince Philip.
Yes, and okay, also so Queen Elizabeth.
From here on out, the rest of this episode is the Prince Philip episode.
Do you think that Queen Elizabeth is going to like take some time, like go on a House Stella Got Her Groove Back type vacation?
Is she going to go out with the girls, little single ladies?
Yeah, I mean, she's been waiting for a long. She's been married for what, like 80? They started dating when she was like 13 years old.
Dude, the fact that like the Meghan Markle and what's his name, Harry?
Mm-hmm.
Harry, yeah. That and the fact that Prince Philip is so old has just opened the world to jokes about the royal family.
How sick would it be if Steve Harvey hit on the queen, stole the queen, took her to America? She abdicated the throne, too.
Yes.
And now guess what? We got your leader.
Listen, whenever someone dies over the age of 90, the jokes are fair game.
Except Betty White. National Day morning when that happens.
I'm going to probably have to make a few jokes.
Yeah.
I'm
going to need some time
off. It's like
off.
You lived a fucking awesome life. 99? Although, he was like a month and a half away from 100.
That's tough.
Like, you were right there.
I mean,
dude.
That's why he got the heart surgery. Was just he's like, I can see the finish line.
And he was looking healthy.
Yeah, well, he looked great. Like skincare. I don't know what his routine was.
Again, this is all in memory. So this is all lovely.
Right, we're remembering the good times. Exactly. All the different times we actually thought
like
he was
Al
already
Davis.
Dead.
Yeah.
He probably looks better now.
Yeah, he definitely.
He's in a better place. Literally.
I mean, they always put like in the mortician. They dress you up.
They glow you up big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
For sure.
So what you gonna say, Jake?
I was gonna say, Sir Nick had an awesome take, and this was when there were still 9 holes of golf left to play. He said, "I think that if he wins, Hideki will be the one who lights the Olympic torch this summer." What do you think about that?
I like it.
Wow.
Makes sense.
That's a Romo call.
Yeah, it's a Romo call.
That's
yeah.
a Romo
I,
call.
I started to think about it. I was like, who else like in the sporting world right now? Otani? Shohei?
Shohei Otani.
Shohei Otani.
Rui Ichiro.
Rui Hachimura, your guy.
Ichiro.
Yeah.
Ichiro, I feel like, is...
Yeah, he's like he's literally like a legend.
The legend.
They should have Shohei like throw the torch to Hideki and have Hideki hit it with like a 3-wood.
Like it.
Or Ichiro, slap it and run to first.
Yeah,
and feel single.
Make contact with it. Yeah, I thought that was a great take. And it was something where I was like, only Jake and Sir Nick Faldo would be thinking about that right now.
Yes. Other relatable moments that happened in the Masters. Billy Horschel having twice, he had to take his shoes off in hole 13, Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. That sucked. I know you can't just quit, but I would definitely quit there. I also had a moment where I love watching major championship golf because they're so fucking good, and the like smallest error becomes this huge thing. So like Hideki goes into the water. I was watching it. Hank and I were sitting there. He goes in the water and then he gets back like, you know, onto the green, and then it pops up and he's like, he's putting for bogey.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Like, I would, in my, like, wildest dreams, getting a bogey at Augusta would be the coolest thing ever. Whenever the water hits, you're thinking like, oh my God, this has got to be like a nine.
Nightmare, yeah.
Yeah, but
it's tough on a par three.
Right.
Like when Xander
hit a double bogey.
That's when Sir Nick should have dropped the... So after it goes in the water, he should have said, as X would say, he's got to stop, drop.
Yep.
Time to hit the third shot.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I guess X won't give it to us, talking about a dramatic finish.
Yeah. It would have been amazing.
And then Dustin Johnson just bouncing after he put on the green jacket for Hideki. He's like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's got to suck so bad to miss the cut and have to hang out for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Just while everyone... I know Max Homa did hang out, and there was a lot of talk about his pea belly. I don't know if you saw that scuttlebutt online.
I didn't see the pea belly.
Stomach looked a little fat, and he said that he had had a couple beers and he had to pee really bad. So, yeah, I mean, everyone move on.
Filled. Yeah, right. It's a sign of a healthy secretion system.
Right, exactly.
Urinary system.
And then, Bryson, what happened there?
Oh, Bryson took a money shot from himself.
Yeah.
You see that spit that he had?
Spit all over himself.
Somebody put the Brazzers. Billy, that's your assignment for tomorrow. Put the Brazzers logo on Bryson just dribbling a loogie on his chin.
It was like spit, and I think he was kind of doing a snot rocket at the same time.
Out of his mouth?
He's
got
gross.
One hole.
It was so gross. But yeah, he didn't do so well.
I didn't realize that Patrick Reed wore a CBD hat.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Which is there's no way that his wife allows him to take CBD.
No, absolutely not. It's like podcasters and Patrick Reed are the only people
that
are
sponsored.
It was purple,
too. He looked like the purple hoser.
They should have had, Zlatoris should have worn, because it said CBD, Zlatoris should have had one that just said CHD, Color Daddy.
Ooh, that
would have
been
a nice cross promotion.
And it would be sick if, like, Phil Mickelson was just said weed.
Yeah.
I'm just going to the hard stuff.
That'd be sick, yes.
Phil, it was nice seeing Phil out there. It was like every 20 minutes, Jim Nantz would be like, and here's Phil. And it's always sad whenever you know that you've had a bad tournament on Sunday when they're like, and here's, like, Hideki Matsuyama hadn't even teed off yet. And they're like, and here's Phil at hole 17.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, he's wrapping up. He started at 9 a.m.
Phil was actually a case of, was the tournament too short for him? Because he started to play well. I think the times that I
he
saw
got
him
hot.
On Sunday,
yeah.
Phil got
John
hot
Rahm.
At the end.
John Rahm got hot.
John Rahm got hot at the end. I think I understand why people like Jordan Spieth now. Because Jordan Spieth, after every shot, he's like yelling at his ball.
Yeah, no, he's
every
a head case,
time.
Man.
It's
total head.
It's kind of fun to watch when it's in the air, and he's giving his ball specific instructions. He's like an old person that you run into in the countryside of Ireland when you ask him how to get to the highway. He's telling his ball like, okay, make a left at this tree, take two hops, and then put the backspin on it, and then it ends up in the water. And he's like, oh, shit, I blew it again.
Yes. Last thing before we get to our who's back, and we're gonna do more Masters talk with Scott Van Pelt in a minute. Some great insight from Augusta, Jake. We asked you. You have the call in Japanese and Italian.
And Hindi.
And Hindi. Because last time we said you should do it in Indian because we're looking for more Indian listeners.
People were wrong.
It's not a language.
Not a language.
Yeah. Hindi is a language.
Also, can you do X Gonna Give It to Me in Japanese?
Can work on that.
Okay.
It's hello, friends, a tradition unlike any other.
Yep.
That's the translation.
Okay, all right.
It's not the final call.
Just do that. Okay.
All right. Japanese. Konnichiwa, tomodachi, hokuto wa chigao dento.
That was good.
Beautiful. It was
nice.
Elegant.
I practiced a little bit.
Of course
okay.
you did.
Now Italian. Remember, use the hands.
Ciao amici, una tradizione diversa dalle altre.
Ooh. You're getting a lot better at this.
Yeah.
And then Hindi.
This one, I've never practiced before.
Oh.
Because it's a last minute edition. Hilo dastan ek parapara. Kise NAKVIPARI.
Okay, we're going to need some work on that one, but that's fine. Baby steps.
Yeah. At least we got the name of the language this time.
That's correct. Yes. Progress.
Correct.
Right.
Exactly.
So.
We're evolving.
Yeah.
Good job, Jake.
Thank you.
I like this. I think you need to. I would actually like if you would just learn three or four more
that's
languages.
That's a lot. But
All right, two. Two more languages. All right. Fluent.
Any championship, I'll do the final call. So we have the final four of the Masters.
Yeah, I would like to also see you do some sign language for our deaf listeners.
Mm hmm. Yep.
They're out there, Jake.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
And maybe some typing in Braille for our blind listeners.
I can type with my eyes closed.
That's insensitive.
That's nothing at all
like what they deal with.
We should probably cut that.
No.
That was mean.
No, it wasn't mean. For it to be mean, you would have to be like mean spirited. Yeah. You just set it off the cuff.
You were actually saying like I have the ability to type with my eyes closed.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Apologies if I.
No, you're. I think you're okay. all right. Let's get to Who's Back of the Week. Who's Back of the Week is brought to you by our friends at Cash App. I was going to say Bitcoin. Cash App, but you can buy Bitcoin on the Cash App. You can buy stocks. You can link it directly to your bank account. Cash App does it all. It is the best app out there. It's super easy to use. Go download it right now, Google Play Store or App Store. I saw Bitcoin is just like, are we on the moon yet? It's like 60,000. If you're not buying a little bit of Bitcoin every day on Cash App, what are you doing? So do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Download the Cash App from the App Store, Google Play Store today. Put in code Barstool. You get $10 for free and $10 to ASPCA. Just go buy that Bitcoin, $10. Put it in there, and in 5 years, it will probably be $10 billion.
Going parabolic.
Yeah, exactly.
Past the moon.
Get on the moon with the code Barstool, Cash App. Thank you to Cash App. We love you, Cash App. Okay, Hank and his red
towel.
What is that? Is it a towel?
Kerchief.
Is that a cum rag?
It's a kerchief.
Okay.
It's a crunchy rag.
I got a bunch of Who's Backs. My first one, Ronald Acuna Jr.
Mm-hmm. Face of baseball?
Face of baseball. He's a freak.
I think we have to be having that conversation.
Because he had like a 420-foot home run, and he beat out an infield single on the same game. He's got it all. How many tools? Five.
Can you list the five tools?
Five plus.
List the five tools plus. Right now.
Okay.
Running, fielding, hitting, thinking.
Mm-hmm. Name sounds cool.
Name sounds cool.
Ronald Acuna Jr. is an intangibles. Awesome name.
Has the tilde above the N, as Bryce Harper pointed out.
Ronnie.
What are the five tools? Running, throwing,
hitting.
Hitting for power?
Yes, yeah. Hitting for power, hitting for contact. And then Babbitt.
Fielding? No, fielding.
Yeah.
Glove work, yeah.
Wouldn't fielding be?
Speed.
We just missed
this. Speed's on there, too.
That's running.
I think there are seven tools.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's five plus.
Yeah.
Easy. Who's Back is Shane O'Mac getting thrown off of cages.
That just happened?
Happened last night.
Fuck yeah.
It's just a nice little thing you can kind of always, like, check your calendar. You know, when is this going to happen? When was the last time Shane O'Mac got thrown off, like, a giant surface onto the ground?
But, okay.
Even though it's 51, it's still going down.
And he's very rich, and he doesn't have to do this. And credit to him for just still doing it. It's like...
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome.
How about Triple H just straight up sandbagging us on the NFT talk? In the interview, he was like,
did he do the wink? Was he like...
He was like, it's something that we might be looking into in the future. And then the very next day, WWE dropped a shitload of NFTs on us.
Yeah. He did call the Bad Bunny being into it.
It was an awesome Bad Bunny's match. Back. Yeah. I watched it. It was so sick. Yeah, Bad Bunny, legit.
Makes up for his Corona commercials.
Yes. Is that your...
I had posterizations as well, Miles Bridges.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. It was quite a dunk.
What's the next level after like a poster? Because that's what that should be. Is it a mural? Like, that was such a violent dunk. A
mosaic.
Yeah. Clint Capella. Yeah.
Watercolors.
Clint Capella. That was just, I think, get out of the way. Or just, you know, injure him.
You got timelined because the entire timeline was just videos of
that's
that dunk.
Exactly right. That's exactly
got
right.
Got timelined big time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it, Hank? We're good. My Who's Back of the Week is receiver swag. Wide receivers playing above their swag level. I saw Billy tweet about this, I think, too. The NFL is just, I guess, giving clearance to wide receivers to wear single-digit numbers.
And is that official?
It's a major there goes the neighborhood moment. I think it's going to happen. Peter King leaked it out, and when Peter King has a scoop like that, it's Roger Goodell just being like, Peter, you are my trial balloon.
Yeah, they're changing. You're right about it. They're allowing all new numbers, right?
Hate it.
I don't like it either, Hank.
Yeah. It broke my brain when I saw it. I was like, this isn't fair, because it's not only that. It's like linebackers can wear any number now, too. Like, imagine a linebacker wearing number 25.
Yeah, I hate it. That's crazy. That's what Georgia football does.
Crazy.
Do you want the entire NFL to look like Georgia football? I don't. And when it comes to wide receivers that are wearing single digits, give me a nice boxy 88 any day of the week.
I think what they should do is
the TikTokers being like, normalize receivers wearing any number they want.
Here's what they should do, though.
It's bullshit.
They should make it so that you get... Let's say five single-digit numbers on your entire team, and it just has to be your five best players. That would make it, like, if your best player is a guard, they wear number six.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, that's because I'm going to say something nice about soccer, but the best player on the team wearing number 10 is kind of cool.
Yeah, who's the 10 this year?
It would be cool if it was, like, the best player wears this specific number, maybe each position group. Like, who is the seven? Okay, the seven is the best linebacker out there. I think that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. What do you, Billy, you don't like it either, do you?
I think, you know, it was all about how, like, there's no I in defense. And it's like, how are you going to have a team of a bunch of single-digit linebackers? I forget exactly what I said, but.
It's we-fence.
Wait, yeah.
Are you?
Yes.
I think that if you're wearing, like, a number one or two, that should either be for, like, the best kicker or the worst quarterback. It shouldn't be a wide receiver.
Yeah, but it also, I think it's badass when, like, number two is a sick defensive end.
So that's just, in college, it looks weird. It's cool to have, like, Jadeveon Clowney when he was in college. Right. And he wore the single digit, it looked awesome, but it also broke my brain, my scouting brain. I was like, how does this guy project to the NFL? Mm-hmm. Wait, is this guy going to play quarterback in the NFL?
Just saying.
I like having those rules in place that keep my brain in a neat, orderly parameter.
No, I agree.
Instead of having to do all this math in my head by looking at numbers.
Yes, I agree. It's fucked everything up. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
My Who's Back of the Week is the debate of whose man is it for the Brooklyn Nets. So, the Brooklyn Nets lost to the Lakers on Saturday night, prime time. A Lakers team that didn't have LeBron or AD out there. And it has been pointed out that the Brooklyn Nets this year, they are 36-17. They are 27-7 with James Harden playing, and they are 9-10 without.
Ooh.
James Harden is the best player on the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, what's their record been since they got Blake?
I don't know. It's probably, like, I think they've lost a couple times. I know they lost to the Bulls. Probably, let's say 5-2.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So it might be Blake's team.
That's a guess.
So,
but 5-2.
I do love the Who's Man's It was inevitable that we were going to have that conversation when it came to this.
But I watched the game last night, and I knew James Harden was out. But I also, there were times where I was like, wait, they should just have James Harden score. Like, they need to get back in this game. They should just have James Harden do James Harden things. So I'm kind of buying, I guess it would be my own thought of just James Harden's the best player on the team.
I just love the idea that Kyrie takes these personal days, just like, depending on what cycle, what is it, like, what phase of the moon we have going?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what stage is it, Aquarius rising?
He's taking a day off.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? He's taking a day off. Let him take a day off. And then my other who's back is the Corp is back because A-Rod, what's the next best thing? When you can't buy the New York Mets, you buy the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a pretty good consolation.
When they list all the franchises in all the sports, I think Mets and then Timberwolves come right after the Mets.
I mean, everyone always talks like the major markets. You talk about the Mets, the Yankees, the Lakers.
Historic teams.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
George Mikan.
Yeah. Listen, you spend a lot of time talking about, like, early stages Kevin Garnett,
mm-hmm.
like how great he was.
Latrell Sprewell.
Yeah.
Have you asked if he's going to move him?
All the Ricky Rubio.
I have not asked, but I know that Spencer Hawes is already asking, so I said, yeah, maybe. Everything's out there.
Have you reached out at all?
Like, I actually corp, like, enjoy.
Congratulatory.
No.
It's definitely a move, though, for A-Rod. Like,
send an email.
He is buying that team to move it.
To Seattle.
It'd be funny if he moved it from Minneapolis to St. Paul.
Well, the good thing is, if you're a Timberwolves fan, you're like, well, is A-Rod going to move this team? I don't think A-Rod will. And his co-owner is also like
an
upstanding guy who made all his money at Walmart. So no way will he move this team.
No.
No chance.
He's about the communities.
Right. The mom and pop shops are what are most important to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. The Corp is going to Minnesota.
How does J-Lo feel about Minnesota? She seems like she'd be a big fan.
Loves it.
Yeah.
The Lake Minnetonka.
The mosquitoes.
Ever heard of it?
The state bird of Minnesota.
Yeah. Prince. He's dead.
R.I.P.
But we can't.
Prince Philip.
We can't. Yeah, I was going to say we can't do a Prince show and a Prince
Philip
show. This is a Prince Philip only show. But yeah, Timberwolves. I do appreciate the few stray people on Twitter who, like, actually get mad at me being like, you better not move the team to Seattle. Like, you really think that.
I mean, if A-Rod's smart,
do with this.
He would say that it was all your idea.
Yeah, that's true. I will be the fall guy.
Mm-hmm.
If I actually would love to be the fall guy in that situation, because then I'd be the fall guy either way. Like, you want to keep the team in Minnesota? Like, I'll be the fall guy that Seattle can blame me, and I'll be the king in Minnesota. You want to move the team to Seattle and have me be the fall guy? I'll be the king of Seattle and the fall guy for Minnesota. You at least just one city you can't go to forever. The other one, you're the fucking the ruler.
I would be, you know what though? You would be the king of Minnesota if you kept the team there.
That's what I'm saying.
So like if the team
either
doesn't
way,
move, but if you move it to Seattle, them. I think there are already people out there that are going to be like, thank you, Paul Allen, somehow for moving the team here.
Yeah, yeah. Another one. We can't do the RIP show to him. Prince Philip.
Who got all Paul Allen's guitars? Did Jim Irsay kill Paul Allen so
know.
He could take his guitar collection?
I don't know.
Somehow I'm going to look into.
Jake.
Blake, 12-4, or Nets 12-4 since
the acquiring. That was pretty close. 5-3.
Yesterday was
two.
The first home loss.
Okay.
With him.
So 12-4. Yeah, I wasn't. No, I was pretty far off.
Pretty close. Crashing.
No, I wasn't. Thank you, Jake, but I wasn't.
All right. Crashing.
Percentage wise.
No, yeah, still
five
wasn't.
5 out of 7 and then 75%?
No, I still wasn't.
5 out of 7.
5 out of 3.
72%. And then.
Oh, I said 4. 5 and 2?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 72%, then I was close. 70, all right. Yeah,
yeah,
all right,
71%.
All right. There we
pretty
go.
So it's Blake's right. team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crashing the boards. Enes Kanter had 30 rebounds in a game on
what?
Saturday.
That is crazy. Yeah. How bad were his teammates shooting?
There's just some stats in sports that it's just like jaw
dropping. That is crazy.
Like in the box score, you just see 30 rebounds?
Yes.
It just doesn't seem possible.
Has anyone ever had a triple-double with fewer than 10 points?
Oh, with like blocks
steals,
or steals?
Yeah, blocks or steals.
I was watching an old clip of Shaq in college, and he had a triple-double with blocks, and it was so fucking sick.
He would just catch the ball as you were trying to shoot it.
Yeah, he had like 11 blocks.
30 rebounds is insane. And then congrats to Liam. His UMass Minutemen won the Frozen Four.
Whoa! Let's go, Liam. Hockey school. You just say that, and then everyone has to respect it. Just keep moving. Yeah, hockey school. Got it. Billy, you got a who's back before we get to SVP?
Just a quick one. Fans are back. I turned the fan on.
You know what? You're kind of right. I turned my air conditioning on for the first time last night.
Yeah, it's that. I mean, I have a fan in my room. I just turn it on, and it's going to be on until like September or October.
Yeah.
So that's always a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. Do you like the sound of a fan? Does it make you fall asleep easier?
Yeah, a little bit of a underlying noise. Sleeping.
Yeah, you thought about saying white noise, but you didn't.
Yeah.
So, like, the first time that I spent the night in a hotel room with Hank and Big Cat, they turned on their fan apps without telling me they were about to do it. It was one of the most bizarre things ever. I was just looking around in the room like, is this normal?
I need to have white noise.
You have to announce that, though. You have to be like, hey, I'm going to turn on
this
loud screeching sound.
It wasn't screeching at all. That's not
it was
what
a broken,
fan...
It was a broken
fan.
That's
not what a fan... Sounds like
a heads up would have been nice.
A screech.
I got a bad
not,
night's sleep that night and forgot my wallet at the Cleveland, the Q Arena or whatever.
It's
it is.
We weren't even in the same room. We were just in a shared, like.
It was the same room.
Was it?
Yeah. Fuck. Hank was on the couch.
That's right.
Maybe it was the bus. That also.
No, I remember the hotel room. I remember being just startled. And being like, are you guys okay?
It's not yet.
It's an Amber
white
Alert?
White noise. I think a lot of people sleep with fans on.
Yeah, but I just, a heads up would have been nice.
I think it's a totally normal thing to sleep with a fan on. Not screeching. Not even close to screeching. No screech whatsoever. It's just a shh. Half the people just fell asleep.
That's true. You put that with Sir Nick's voice?
Yeah.
Billy, what did you get into this weekend? Why aren't you in the studio right now?
I'm just studying. I got this long paper going.
But we were laughing because Billy, he is a real life drill tweet where he was essentially saying like, hey guys, I don't know if I'm be in because I have a big test on Monday and then another paper on Tuesday. And they were like, so what are you doing Saturday? He's like, well, I have to enjoy myself. I'm like, you know what? You're right. You do. It's your senior year. But yeah, your time management is a very... I actually would like a time management, like a detailed breakdown, maybe on Friday's show.
Dude, I found this huge stump, and I climbed it next to the river, and it's actually really cool.
And that was what you did instead of studying and coming to your job.
I found the highest place next to a body of water, and I got on top of that motherfucker.
And then I jumped into the river. It was sick.
Did everyone cheer? Wait,
no.
How cold was the water?
Oh, it was the perfect temperature.
What?
No,
it wasn't.
Did you do a pencil dive,
like,
or you go head first?
It's like the second day that it's been nice out.
Dude, it was great. It was just like, it was a perfect, like, because it was like 90 degrees out.
No, it wasn't.
Where were you?
Billy was so drunk. He just imagined all of this.
It was 62 degrees.
You were in New York.
No, I sent you guys a picture of the stump.
Okay, let's see this stump. We'll see the stump and we'll get to Scott Van Pelt.
You just sent us a picture of Bryson with the Brazzers look. That's a good picture, honestly. It's a good meme, Billy.
Wait, it's going through.
Here it is.
There you go.
All right, we got the stump. Wow, what a stump.
It's a pretty big stump.
Bro, and you jumped off this? And you climbed it? Wow. Yeah.
Who's that?
So that's why you're not here today.
Who's your friend that's on the stump? Your friend that's like way out of shape.
Oh, that's me.
Oh, fuck. You got titties, dude.
Yeah.
They're pecs.
Mm. I don't think that's what pecs look like. All right, let's get to Scott Van Pelt.
It's a pretty big stump. How'd they cut that stump down? What happened to it?
Exactly. No, so like that's not like a place to swim. It's like behind like this old like construction site, and we found it, and then we just chilled there for the whole day.
Cool. This interview with SVP is brought to you by our great friends over at Coors Light. The mountains are blue. Mountains are always blue in our world. We love you guys sending us pictures of your bottles, seeing how blue the mountains are. Do you ever feel like you're always on? You ever need a moment to chill? You ever feel like you need to hit the reset button, get ready for what's next? Well, these days, everything is go, go, go. Work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. And that, my friends, is when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. It's our favorite beer. We love drinking it. We're very excited to have Coors Light as our main beer sponsor this year. The mountains on the bottles and cans turn blue when your beer is cold. Hit it.
You want to do it?
That's the sound of a refreshing Coors Light.
That was incredible.
You mind if I join you?
Yeah, do it. That was incredible.
Yes, that is the coldest sounding opening of a beer that you will ever get, and that's from our friends at Coors Light. It always sounds super cold when you open up a Coors Light. It's as crisp and as refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know what's also refreshing is Coors Seltzer. We love Coors Seltzer as well. We love Coors Seltzer. We love Coors Light. We love drinking them. Coors Seltzer has these new flavors. They got black cherry, mango, lemon lime. Get Coors Light and Coors Seltzer delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or on Instacart. Huge shout out to everyone that participated in the Coors PMT lottery. We're going to be doing awesome things with Coors Light all year long. Stay tuned for what's next. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, and Fort Worth, Texas. And now we got to do the lottery ball drawing.
Oh, yeah. Is that right now?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, so this is for everybody that sent us their Coors Light, the PMT lottery ball entries.
We're not guessing. If it's 99, I'm going to take credit for it.
The winner gets a jumpsuit, I think. The PMT Coors jumpsuit.
It is 10.
It's 10. All right, if anybody sent us 10, 10 God, we'll look it up. Congratulations on your Coors Light jumpsuit. Now, here he is, Scott Van Pelt.
Okay, we now welcome on our very, very good friend. It is Scott Van Pelt. I said it at the beginning of the show. It's a tradition unlike any other, having Scott Van Pelt on the show after the Masters on Sunday. So thank you, as always. That had no drama.
None. Well, I mean, for a second, like it was, but it was fake, right? I mean, it was like, whoa, what do we have here? He's in the water on 15, and then Xander rinses one on 16, and then it was gone. Which all credit to Matsuyama, who was brilliant, but I kind of like the title game the other night, right? Like you're waiting for UCLA Gonzaga again, and instead it was like, oh no, but Baylor's just a lot better. And in this case, Hideki, who has a lot of people have been waiting on this. I mean, he's been really good for a long time, and this was his time. He was excellent.
So a lot of people don't know the difference between the Masters and other tournaments when it comes to how they like handle the yardages and the yardage books that every player gets. In my mind, this is like the test of not only who's a great golfer, but a caddy. Like, how good is your caddy? Because the stuff that they have to fill in on the yardage booklets, it's kind of insane. Can you kind of walk us through what goes into all that?
Like a PFT drop in, like, what are you, Golf Channel? Are you Brando Chambly on here?
Dude, don't say that. Yeah, we don't talk about Brixbly Chamblis. But you know what drew me in, Scott?
I forgot. That's I just hit it OB. I just hit it OB right there.
Yeah, he's, for people who don't know, OB means
out of
on board. Awesome shot.
Yes.
Awesome shot.
But, no, but the, okay. So, all right. So I'll try to extricate myself from this. What I'm saying here is, you know, that a lot of the tour events, there are these books that have very specific yardages to everything. They have these books that tell you what all of the undulations on the greens are. It's basically Cliff's Notes. Like, and you know, I think I know me and Big Cat. I'm pretty PFT. You're smart, but I'm pretty sure we were kind of lazy guys, right? Maybe Cliff's Notes here and there, just do what you had to do.
Spark Notes was my jam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, these are Cliff's Notes for the golf course and Augusta National. They don't provide them, and you've got to sort it out on your own. Which is, it's kind of why I wonder about about Bryson DeChambeau, because this guy has got so much information in his brain, and he's grinding on so much of the physics and the humidity and the undulation and the rotation of the earth and this, that, and the other, and his numbers, and he doesn't have all the info here, and I almost wonder if it kind of jams up his airspace, so to speak, because you got to sort it out completely on your own. And I think that's why you hear people talk so much about local knowledge and about playing here for years. Matsuyama 10 years ago was low amateur, so he's been here a ton, and you figure stuff out over time, which is what makes what Zalatoris, the rookie, in his Masters debut, it makes what he did incredible, because you're not supposed to be able to figure it out that quickly. And he looked like he belonged all 4 days. Big Cat, I saw you were tweeting about him all throughout. Hard not to like him. You know, fun guy to watch. He looks like he weighs about 120 pounds, and he's out there throwing punches on Sunday in Augusta.
Yeah, and it makes sense now what you're saying about, you know, like having to be there, because everything I read was like Zalatoris, he's not going to be able to hang because he doesn't have that institutional knowledge that guys build up over the years. So Matsuyama, I want to give him a little bit more credit because it was phenomenal. He kicked everyone's ass. What that though, we were joking, the tee shot on one, that had to have just been him sitting all night on Saturday being like, I'm about to win a Masters, I'm about to win a green jacket, and then comes out and just totally shanks it. And I thought it was a very relatable moment to just a little bit of pressure, and then he got right back on it and was good the rest of the way to go.
100%. And like, look, Justin Rose, who's played in a ton of Masters and majors, is a major champ. He shoots 65 on Thursday, comes out Friday morning, and his first tee shot is basically, you know, he was in the same exact spot as Matsuyama. Like, it wasn't a shank, but I mean, it's way right. And all night, Andy North kept saying to me, you cannot comprehend the amount of pressure that's on this young man's shoulders. Because in Japan, he's not their only star, but he's the guy. And typically, I mean, in non-COVID times, he has his own media entourage who follows his every move. And no Japanese man had ever won a major. And Andy, who he does get a little bit, he's prone to a wee bit. I love him. But every now and then he's a little bit of hyperbole. He's like, this is worth $1 billion to him. And I'm like, do the math for me, Andy. A billion with a B is a lot of commas and a lot of zeros. He's like, no, Scotty, you don't understand. This guy's 29 years old. He's going to have, you know, give him 40 years of being able to be, I'm the Masters champion in Japan. He's like, you could be a nine-figure a year guy. And David Duval, former world number one, who's a major champion himself, told me this morning, he goes, look, that's not crazy at all. He said, it might be conservative. You can't fathom how much money this is worth. So you're sleeping on that all night. You're trying to win the Masters because that's more important than the money. But if you win the Masters, you're going to get the money. And, you know, shit, how could you not have those nerves? And so he, you know, hits one off the hosel on one, and he makes bogey. And he goes to the second tee, and a four-shot lead is all of a sudden down to one just like that. But, like, I was surprised nobody was able to put any pressure on him, really, until Xander in the very end. None of the guys that I thought would make a move Sunday really were able to. And his lead was pretty comfortable most of the way. And so you're right. You're waiting all day to feel like, you know, the nerves and the drama and all this and that. And mostly, outside of a brief moment there on 15 and 16, it was, you know, I don't know if boring's the word. I mean, it wasn't to me, but it wasn't the kind of – it didn't have the same punch that – you know, a lot of times the Masters does.
It's always fun to watch no matter what, but it wasn't the most memorable Masters, but it,
no,
you know.
But of course not.
So I had a question. So our colleague Nate tweeted this out, and I thought it was a great idea. The evolution of how we broadcast all these sports. obviously Augusta's probably going to not do this because they don't have to, but do you think golf will eventually get to a point where they have on the leaderboard how much money guys are losing for the places that they drop at the end, especially in a blowout? Like Xander Schauffele lost $575,000 when he double bogeys 16 or 15, whatever it was. He goes from second place of 1.2 mil to $667,000. Like, that would actually be compelling down the stretch if these guys are making putts, even like at 12th. Or 13th, like, hey, sure. He just made an extra $40,000.
I could see that other places, not at Augusta, because at Augusta, it's the money in their estimation is inconsequential.
Yeah.
You're going to win a ton of it. I mean, he won more than two, and Zalatoris won seven figures on Sunday. I mean, like, basically matched what he'd won in his whole life with a second place finish. But, you know, the way they see it, you know, that's really not what you're playing for. On a regular tour event, like, I think the PGA Tour is going to be right there at the forefront of, like, live gambling and embracing that, because they recognize that people that play golf, I don't care if it's country club golf or municipal golf, you understand the idea of having a dollar on the line. And I could see that for regular tour events, but, you know, particularly the Masters and majors, you know. And by the way, Big Cat, you don't need to do it, because Twitter people are going to figure it out, and Ravel will have, like, what it is and what your hat was worth for the five right. seconds you were on TV anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. True.
So what's the vibe like around Augusta in between rounds? Like, you were just talking a second ago about hanging out with Andy North all night and him, you know, giving you all this inside info. I like to imagine that that's exactly what happens. Like, you guys just go to the bar afterwards and Andy North just holds court and just explains exactly what's going to happen.
It's absolutely wrecked on sangria. Yep. North blind drunk on sangria. Now, honestly, I mean, normally these weeks are incredible in terms of hospitality, because you have, like, I mean, you've got to come down and see it sometime. Like, Russillo came here and he's a pretty grades with a sharp pencil, right? Like, he came here and he's like, bro, I can't believe that place, because it is the sort of a who's who of, you know, Fortune 500 types, and everyone's trying to outdo each other when it comes to hospitality. And so it is insane. I mean, shout to our boys at Wheels Up, my guy Kenny Dichter, you know him well, the Wisconsin Badger.
Yep.
Like, their party every year is the party. They've kind of done the same thing at the Super Bowl, and obviously Barstool, your guys' things have become massive shindigs as well, but it's a little bit of who can top the other when it comes to who can get the best guests and who can put on the best, just the best parties. But this year, you know, with things being what they are, it's completely different. But it doesn't mean that me and North don't just sit around the house and get, you know, just get blind drunk on sangria and watch the Golf Channel. That's really get crazy.
We got to go.
You also left out the biggest celebrity there this weekend, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Was rocking the Hawaiian shirt. Did you get a chance to talk to Fitzy?
No, I was so bummed out, because he's the quarterback of my team, Washington. He's the Washington quarterback. And there were a bunch of football folks down here this week, and I saw none of them. I sucked this week. I did such a shitty job of seeing people. And, I mean, you kind of had to be in the right place at the right time. And I never was. But he was like a superstar out there in his short shorts and his beard, just holding court with people. I was bummed. I did a really bad job this week of seeing people. Really bad.
Let me – I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. And I don't want to put you on the spot.
I'm going
to. What color shirt are you wearing right now?
It's sort of a white with pink and gray stripes.
No, Scott. So I guess I am the only one honoring Tiger. I'm wearing red. I wore red all day.
North wore red and black on Wednesday for our show.
Yeah.
And shot him. Gave him a text, told him, you know, he was holding it down for him.
Good. So,
I failed. I didn't honor Tiger.
You failed. I know there's been Masters that he hasn't competed in, but it does feel – can you feel it like that when he's not there? Because it feels it like we were talking about it on Thursday and Friday. It doesn't have that it's almost like a gravity force where it's like, okay, there's a lot of golf going on, but what's Tiger doing?
It's not kind of like that. It's exactly like that. I mean, there's no denying that in the absence of Woods, there's this kind of he injects a different level of excitement. And it was wild on Saturday. There's that brief rain delay. And naturally, your CBS, like, let's see, what should we put on? Oh, I know, 19 Tiger. How about that? And you know, when the golf starts back up in the afternoon, there's part of you that's like, okay, well, good, let's get back at it. And then there's part of you, I'm sure, the people like, no, I want to watch Tiger win, because what he did that day was nuts, just in terms of the emotion of the moment. And so, look, everybody knew he wasn't going to be around. There are a bunch of young players that I think people like. And when DeChambeau plays well, I think he captivates a lot of attention. Spieth does, but it feels more golfy with him.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's more of a golf crowd that kind of follows his ups and downs in every move. I think there are a ton of young guys that are compelling, and the sport has got plenty of people that can carry it well. It's rated well without Tiger, but particularly here, there's just no denying that that not having him, you lack what he provides, and it's really something that only he provides.
Yeah. I was wondering if you got a chance to run into Sir Nick this weekend, and if you did. Can you tell me how long he's planning on growing his sideburns out for? Because right now, Nick looks, he's going for like the aging trombone player in a ska band look, and he's pulling it off, but I just don't know how much longer and sharper they can get.
I like the specials. Like, who are we talking about? Good, like a good one or like a knockoff?
No, like a really good 1980s ska band. He's been around. It's like him and the lead singer are the only two remaining members. Yeah.
I think I wanted to tell him this because we were actually at a small function, and I had intended to tell him that I thought he looked like a villain in a Guy Ritchie film, who like Snatch or something. Like, he'd walk in and say, "Hello, Governor," but I wanted to say that to him, but then I chickened out and didn't, and just played it straight. But I was talking to him, and I didn't hear a word he said, because the whole time all I was looking at was the side of his head, going, "Look at those fucking sideburns!
Yeah.
They're astounding.
They're majestic."
They are.
They really are.
They're incredible.
They really are. And he's fully committed. Like, you know, that's not like let it go for a week. I mean, that's clearly where he's full on.
Hey,
Sir Nick with the sideburns.
Yeah. Hey, you said that you talked to David Duvall today?
I did.
Where is he doing the coverage?
Yeah, he was there with the Golf Channel. We'll be together at the PGA in a month doing hosting the PGA Championship stuff. So yeah, Duvall does Golf Channel stuff. Sometimes does our stuff. Sort of like these. You know, he's figured out the a la carte thing.
Right? Yeah,
that's smart dude. Just do some stuff with these guys. Do some stuff with them. You know,
I like
what he's
that.
Doing.
I like that. So no, I was watching pre-Masters coverage today, and they had, I think it was whatever it was, Mark O'Meara. So David Duvall finished second that year. And it was like one of the last years that he was up at the top, and he always had the coolest fucking sunglasses of all time. But have you ever, like, has he ever sat down and talked to you and been like, man, things just kind of escape me, and it just, like, he's the poster child for golf is a cruel sport.
Yeah, but, like, I've known David for a long time, and David's been a friend for a lot of years, and we've talked, like, I think we talked on the air some about this. Like, he was the guy that, number one was this pursuit, wanted to climb the mountain, and he did. And he was a major champion. He's number one in the world. And I think he got to the top of the mountain and looked around and was like, so this is it, right? And it wasn't like it made him fulfilled. It didn't change his life. And then, you know, he got married. He had children. And, like, and he hurt. I mean, he got hurt. The reason that the golf kind of went away is because he hurt his back, and he had health issues. And so I think – he's actually, it's not like it's a sad story in a sense, Big Cat, because he did realize all his potential. And when he got to that place, it wasn't like he was as happy as then he ultimately ended up being just in life. And, you know, when you've been a number one in the world player, when you've stood in the arena and you've been able to do it, I think you earn the right to talk about it pretty much forever. And so he's doing that now, and he's really good at it. But you're right. I mean, he was a guy that was one thing and now is something different. But in his case, it wasn't like he just lost the ability to hit a golf ball as much as his body just kind of broke down and betrayed him a little bit.
Yeah, I think he was also done a disservice at the time, because when he won, it was billed as like, we're going to have Tiger against
versus
David
him.
Duvall
yeah, right.
for the next 20 years. So strap in, get ready to enjoy. If it wasn't for that aspect, because we were so thirsty for like a legitimate rival to Tiger at the time, that we put all those expectations on him that wouldn't have been there if Tiger was not in the picture.
But as we look back now with the understanding of what was going on then, there were a lot of guys that were supposed to be one thing that you know, if like Davis Love won a ton of money, but he won one major. You know, Ernie Els won majors, but he'd have won a pot full more if he wasn't dealing with Tiger Woods. There were anybody in that era that just dealt with, you know, Tiger in his whatever, in his 20s. I don't know. I mean, it was, you're kind of up against like this superhero figure, which is why not a couple of years ago, Duvall had the great line about these young guys, said they wanted the chance to see Tiger at his peak and they wanted a chance to go toe to toe with him. And Duvall said, the hell you do.
Yeah, right.
You don't want that. Trust me when I tell you, that's not what you want to see. And we got a brief glimpse of it there when Woods won in 19. But I mean, at this stage, you know, and who knows now after, you know, an accident, who the hell knows what will happen. But I mean, I think that just that one little glimpse that those guys got of what Woods at his peak was, gave him an idea.
Yeah.
And what about you, Scott? Do they let you play Augusta? Do you have that ability? Ooh. If you could get a tee time there?
I mean, I know people. I have played it. I won the media lottery once, which was nuts. And I took like this is pre, you know, cell phone. You could take, although cell phone pictures, I'm sure will probably be frowned upon. But I just had like a drugstore camera, and I took like 800 pictures like a tourist all day. But maybe someday I'll get back out there. I mean, people have been very kind and have been nice to suggest that maybe we could get down and play. But I mean, you know, busy, a lot of stuff, work, kids, the whole bit. Someday though, we'll get back out there.
Speaking of which,
I have an important question I have to ask you guys.
Okay.
I'm standing in front of a vending machine. I didn't have any dinner.
Oh, and Cool Ranch Doritos.
There's something called a big Texas cinnamon roll.
Oh.
And it looks just horrible. And I want to know, like, there's nothing really else to eat except there's a jumbo honey bun, which looks iffy.
Give us the rest
and
of the
I'm
options.
I'm thinking, can I?
Give us the rest of the options. I don't think you go big
I'm
Texas
giving it to you. There's
cinnamon
something,
roll.
Big Texas cinnamon roll. There's a jumbo honey bun. We got some Cheez-Its. Hard to go wrong with them.
Cheez-Its.
And then there's some chocolates, but I want something that feels more like food than like chocolate.
Right. So here's the thing with the big Texas cinnamon roll, because I've had it once or twice. It's about like 2,500 calories, so it's a meal and a half.
Yes.
It's heavy. No, it's going to sit in your stomach.
This is 420. It looks like it would be like really thuddy. Like I'm afraid it would hit like the belly and land really hard.
I'll put it this way, Scott. You're about to get on a plane. If you want to make sure that you don't have to use the restroom while you're on that plane, then eat the big Texas.
Yep. Wait, do you have animal crackers? Animal crackers?
I don't see animal crackers.
Animal crackers in like Cheez-Its or pretzels. That's as close to a full meal that you can get from a vending machine without feeling like shit.
I mean, I'm looking for some sort of a jerky, some sort of a protein sort of deal. That's we don't have that, but it sounds like the big Texas PFT feels like will keep me bound up for the flight, which is good.
I mean, it's going to serve a purpose. Right, you're not going to love it, but it's like you're taking medicine, right? It's going to knock
just
you out.
Just take a bite. Just take a bite and then throw it out. That's what you do. And then you're like, hey, I didn't even eat it.
You should be having the pimento cheese sandwiches. You should have packed a couple of those for the road.
Yeah.
You want to know the sad thing? The sad thing is this costs the same amount. It's $1.50 for the big chicken, $1.50 for pimento cheese.
All right, so I had
that's
one last
the play,
question.
That's not the play, by the way, fellas. That's not the play. Chicken salad on the brioche. That's the new. That was new for 2021. We ate about 11 of those today.
Wow.
Was there any pushback on the menu? Like it changed and people were like, what the hell is this vegan stuff, chicken salad?
No. They keep, I mean, the standards are the standards. Egg salad, pimento cheese, those never waver. But then every, you know, they add a little bit of new fare. This year was chicken salad on brioche, which was, like, again, I ate an excessive amount of those.
All right, so I had one last question. I do have to mention that you mentioned kids. I sent Scott a clip. My son was infatuated with Scott's voice on Friday. It's the longest he's ever watched TV. But then when you came on the screen, he just started yelling dada at the screen. So I don't know what the fuck that's about.
Whoa.
So we got questions. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. But he thinks you're his dad.
I feel like I have a soothing voice for children. I feel like I should read children's books or do like and like animated films. I could be like the like a character that would make the children happy.
Yes.
I'm actually shocked you haven't been invited to do any voiceover work.
Shrek 4.
Yeah, you would be a hit.
Yeah.
No, I said animate.
Oh. Well, I mean, from your lips to God's ears. I mean, I did some video game stuff. We were in Tiger's video game. We were also in the Aqua Teen Hunger Force. What was it called? Mutant Pro-Am or something? Look it up. I swear to God, there's a golf video game for the Aqua Teen Hunger Force that I did. I don't know that it sold as many as the Tiger video games, but I haven't been in any cartoons, which I feel like PFT is going to get that sorted for
me. Yeah, we got
Boner Dogs.
Yeah, Boner Dogs. We'll get you in.
You'll be the announcer for the dog race.
Yes, that's perfect. That's perfect. So
I'm in. Can I do an English accent like I did with Nick Faldo and just say, hello, Captain?
Yes.
Yeah, you can be both. You can interview yourself.
Well, this whole entire episode, you don't even know this, but this entire episode has been memorialized for Prince Philip.
True.
So that's perfect.
Wow, poor one out. I'm gonna get some. With the big Texas cinnamon roll. I'm gonna get like a can of dry ginger ale. And I'm gonna pour some out for him.
No, he loved Prince Philip. Loved big Texas cinnamon rolls. That was his favorite snack.
That's what did him in.
He should have had another bite.
That's why he only lived to 99, not 100. All right, my last question. You have a Fats Russell jersey yet?
No. Fats is in the transfer portal and he's headed to Maryland. But we're excited. How good a name is Fats? Like just
the best. You know what it is too? I think he'll have another like resurgence where people who watch college basketball, and then flip on. I'm really talking about gamblers who flip on a URI game against Dayton on a Wednesday night, and they're like, "This guy's name is Fats." Once he goes to Maryland, everyone's gonna be like, "Holy shit, there's Fats Russell."
Dude, that's Fats.
It's Fats.
He led the show one night.
Yeah.
Big Cat, he led the show one night when he was at Roadie because he had like 41.
Yes.
And it was, I think, 2 years ago. Little did I know that someday he'd be my favorite player and that I'd end up with a jersey with Fats.
Do you think, though, that the Maryland success that will happen next year, which I'm sure it will.
They've got a great recruiting class right now.
Well, not recruiting class. They're doing the transfer portal. Do you think that's kind of cheap?
Do you think it's cheap because Wisconsin doesn't have anybody?
No, just answer the question. Don't make this about me. I'm asking you a question. Do you think that your success next year, which I'm sure you guys will have tons of success at Maryland, is cheapened by the fact that it's all transfers?
I don't because when Duke started getting guys in the transfer portal, then it meant everyone was in the pool. And if everyone's in the pool, the hell with it. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to do it with the purity and sanctity of like going out and getting some 3-star guy from Oshkosh.
Yep.
From Kenosha.
Yep.
Or something.
Yep.
Well, have fun with that. We're going to go get guys. We're going to go get starters out of the portal and try to win a title. You guys are on the must bus. He's got 25 guys.
Listen, Scott,
we're hypocrites.
There's something it's classy and honorable to talk to a kid when he's 12 years old and keep talking to him until he goes to your college, and then you win with him.
Yes.
As opposed to getting just some mercenary from
some
another
adult.
School.
Yeah, an adult.
I agree in theory. We're joking, but we're not. Like, I completely agree that when you recruit a guy and if they stay for 4 years, there's something awesome about them winning. But in 2021, when everyone is just out there and it's just like chaos, it's like a swingers convention at closing time,
Bonk.
And everyone's just trying to find somebody to leave with. Well, then, like, whatever.
I'm just getting myself ready for Maryland being good and knowing that you're going to be so insufferable about it. So I have to find a way to cope.
Why do you keep saying this? I'm not insufferable.
Maryland's going to be great.
I'll tell you exactly.
They're going to win the title.
Scott, I'll tell you exactly what Big Cat's doing right now. I know him pretty well. And he is acknowledged in his own head that Maryland will be a very good team. So he's moving the expectations window right now for you.
No, they're going
to
win
it all. So, like, if you make it to the Elite Eight or the Final Four and you don't win, now Big Cat can be like, that's a failure. You guys
they have to win the national title by 20 points plus.
See, that's all this is cruel and unreasonable. I just want to beat you, and I hope we don't play in the Coles. So we don't have to play you in the Kohl Center, and I complain about officiating, which I started doing about mid-first half this year. But it worked. It worked.
You hate Wisconsin at the Kohl Center more than pretty much anything in the world. And I understand. Brad Davison doesn't foul.
Which is weird because I love Madison, and I love Madison people. But you guys think you've never fouled anybody because you coach not to foul.
Correct.
And then if someone calls a foul, the entire building acts like an outrageous crime against humanity has taken place.
Fact.
You guys should try doing
that. That's true.
Yeah. Try not fouling. It might work.
All right.
Well, Scott, thank you as always. Really appreciate your time. Enjoy the big Texas cinnamon roll for Prince Philip. Shout out our guy.
A legend.
I'm literally gonna buy it. I'm gonna buy the big Texas, and if this is like if I eat it and I have an untimely demise, I just want to say I appreciate spending the last moments on Earth together with you guys, and it was worth it. The Big Texas, I hope, was worth it.
Yeah, we're gonna find out real quick if you die on the plane, and we're gonna edit this part out so it doesn't make us look like accomplices.
No, we're gonna keep it in. We'll get so many people listening.
Oh, here's Scott how Pelt's Scott Van Pelt died.
Yeah,
here is it. His impactful last words, and in parentheses, it was about a big Texas cinnamon roll.
He died with 100 milligrams of sugar in his belly.
He died as he lived. God,
I'm going to send you a picture of it because I'm buying it right now.
It's perfect. Heavy, I'm telling you. That thing is, it's got some girth to it, so Godspeed.
All right, thank you, Scott.
Be well, boys.
SVP is brought to you by our great friends over at Roman. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer. Thinking about baseball doesn't always work. The folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman swipes. It's the secret to longer lasting sex. Bonk. It's like a bonk. It's like a bonk that you can fit in your pocket, make sure that you can last longer in bed. Roman swipes are a clinically proven way for you to last longer. They're effective, they're easy to use, they're fast acting, but they don't require a prescription. They can ship the swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. Hank just tried to bonk me with an airborne bonk, and he missed. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry. You're good to go. That's it. So go to GetRoman.com/take. Get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/take.
Okay, we are going to finish up Monday's show with a Monday reading. Monday readings are back. We do Monday readings whenever we have something that is Monday reading worthy, and this turns out that it is very much so Monday reading worthy. So it is something that Hank found on
AWL DM'd it to me, so shout out
AWL,
to
shout out to AWL, and it is titled an interview with the man who keeps uploading my feet to WikiFeet. So WikiFeet, I guess, is a fetish site for feet. PFT, you probably
not familiar
know about it. Yeah,
no, I'm not a foot
Bonk.
Guy.
All right, so we're gonna do the Q&A, and what we're gonna do is, so this writer, she's a politics writer. She found her feet online at WikiFeet. Then she found the guy who's been uploading it and did an interview with him. And we're gonna have Jake be the part of the foot fetish guy, and PFT and I will be the part of the interviewers.
We're Lauren Bassett,
and we are gonna stop at random spots to laugh about this. Okay, I'll start. Robert, is it just Robert, or do you go by something else? You sound young.
Yeah, just Robert, and I'm almost 60 years old, young lady.
Oh,
do you consider yourself a foot fetish?
Yes.
Since when?
Age 6.
Okay.
This is already just not me.
Jake, that's very specific.
No, that's you. That's very specific.
Don't break character. That's very specific, Jake. What happened to you when you were 6?
A couple things have happened, but we'll start there. I have 5 sisters. Well, I had 5. 2 of them passed away.
What a fucking brutal thing to just drop on. Like,
but a lot of their friends would come around, and we had a pool in the backyard, and they'd be barefoot. You know, they'd be here while my sisters weren't here. They'd just come over and use the pool, and I would give them foot massages.
Oh, so it was actually kind of his parents' fault for having a pool.
I was going to say, right off the bat, it actually sounds like he was talking about how he had a lot of sisters. And then he wanted to sound like he wasn't being a creep about his sisters.
Yeah.
So he said, actually, it wasn't my sisters. It was their friends who were over all the time when my sisters weren't even there.
Right. You totally didn't want to fuck your sister, Jake. What was the other thing?
When I was about 9, these new people moved on my block, right? They were older girls, and they had their own pool across the street. We were playing this game, and they were like, well, we have to tie you up because we captured you, you know? You're the bad guy. They tied me to a lawn chair with my hands over my head and my feet tied down, and they started tickling my feet, and it just drove me crazy. I think that's what made me realize there's nothing wrong with it. It's fun. I just didn't feel like it was weird or anything, so I'm thinking to myself, hey, what's the problem with this? This is who I am. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not robbing banks. Just let it ride. That's when I decided, who gives a S-H-I-T?
Okay, I'm already on this guy's side. He might be, people are going to say he's a creep, but the minute you drop off the, like, hey, I'm not killing anyone. I'm not part of, like, you know, the Nazi regime in the Holocaust. Like, I'm not dealing heroin. Just going the as far as you
can. I'm not
can.
Robbing banks. Anytime you say I'm not robbing banks to justify what your behavior is,
yeah,
you're doing something awesome.
Yeah, it's just
you're just
like,
trying to, yeah, it's perfect to just be like, listen, in the grand scheme of things, no one's dying.
Right. He's just anchored the fuck out of this negotiation.
Yes.
And I'm now on his side.
So how many photos have you posted there?
Well, for example, if I'm watching...
Oh, wait, you missed one.
Oh, how do you interact with WikiFeet? How much time a day do you spend on it?
Well, for example, if I'm watching a movie with a beautiful actress that I like, I'll go on there and check out her feet. Or if I'm reading a story about someone like you who I think is very pretty, I'm going to go check and see if she's on there because I'm curious and I love feet.
So that's definitely the creepy part, is that like it's just a random writer.
Anytime you see somebody that's moderately attractive, you're like, I wonder, let's see if their tootsies are online.
Get those feet.
It's like how if we're watching some sort of sporting event, and we're like, that dude's good. I wonder how much money he makes. And you look at his contract. And right, like, that's the curiosity this guy has.
Oh, my God. All right. How many photos have you posted there, Jake?
A couple hundred.
Ooh. And how did you first discover my feet?
I can't remember how I first discovered you, but I looked on Instagram and saw you on there, and you had a lot of barefoot pictures. Wait,
that's how he discovered her.
Yes.
Okay. Keep going.
And I just followed you. That was all. I also like your dog. I like Pedro. Oh, this guy's cool. Your feet are quite beautiful, by the way.
All right, I'm now back. So I was on his side when he said, when he did the old sleight of hand trick, being like, I'm not robbing banks. I'm like, he's right. He isn't robbing banks. Now I am fully on the side of the writer here, being like, this guy's creepy. When you compliment someone else's dog that you've never met him, and you've also been uploading their feet to WikiFeet, that's a little bit much.
And then he tosses in at the end, like, your feet are quite beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, hey, just so you know, I want to fuck your feet. All right.
I thought that part was pretty obvious.
Yeah. Thanks. What makes a foot attractive to you, Jake?
I like the painted toes. I like an arch. The more pronounced, the better. I'm kind of weird with the toes. A rounded big toe. If it's more square, it's okay, but the rounded is better. I definitely like the soles, but I like the arches. That gets you turned on.
The arches.
Yeah, because the arches, that's, I mean, if I were to put myself in the shoes of a foot fetishist, it's like that's where your dick can go.
Well, also, it's like, yeah, like you like the curves.
Yes.
You like the humps. You like the bumps.
The cleavage. The foot cleavage. Yeah.
That's it.
I also like how he was like, I like a rounded big toe. If it's more square, it's okay. But the rounds, that's the ones that... This guy just likes any foot.
Yeah.
I think you could see the more mangled...
Well, flat feet. No go.
Oh, I got flat feet.
Yeah, so you're out.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, he needs those arches.
Can't fuck you, bro. Yeah. Sorry.
You can't wear a push-up bra, a.k.a. arch support, like the Dr. Souls, and get away with it with this guy.
I've noticed that sometimes within 10 minutes of me posting an Instagram story that shows my feet, the screenshot is up on WikiFeet. Oh, how does that happen? Do you spend all your time on Instagram waiting for new foot content to drop?
Wait, before you say something here, Jake, that is... Okay, this is now full-blown. This woman deserves to, like, put this guy in jail.
So he probably has alerts on his phone. You can't get a story alert, can you?
I don't know, but that's a...
He's just always on Instagram.
This is now, and I'm not going to fetish shame, but this is too far. This is very creepy.
If I were her, I would start posting just all pictures that cut off right at the start of my foot.
And just edge them.
Although this guy might like try to track her down and kill her.
Yeah, this is not okay. All right, so go ahead, Jake.
I don't sit here looking for it. If I just happen to see it and I like it, I'll put it on there. But I'm not sitting here all day staring or anything. That doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah. Okay, buddy. All right. So why not just look at feet on Instagram or screenshot them for yourself? What do you get out of posting them to another website? This is a great question.
You know, it is a great question. I don't really get anything out of it. I just like to share it. I mean, people like feet like me, and you have beautiful feet. I just put it on there. I just think I'm helping other people out. I mean, I do save some for myself.
Jesus.
There isn't much of a community on WikiFeet. It's not like people can heart the photos or whatever. Sometimes someone will send you a little note like, that's a good picture. Thanks a lot. Good job. That's really it. You don't really connect with anybody. I just like to share the picture with other people. I'm generous that way. Like that one of you on the stoop in, what was it, a flying nun getup, and you were barefoot?
Okay. I was dressed as a handmaid for Halloween. You posted that one?
Yeah, sorry. That was very sexy.
Oh, my God. All right, so wait. I want to stop for a second because this guy, this is the root of it right here. Is that, well, he obviously loves to fuck feet and he wants feet, right? But this is what every, like, weird, seemingly weird thing online boils down to. Remember the Flat Earth documentary? And you watch it, and the whole time you're like, wait, these people don't really care about Flat Earth. They just want friends, and they want friends online. He's just doing this so that a few people reach out and be like, good job with the feet pics, dude. Keep them coming. He's looking for, like, kinship.
Yes, I agree. When he says, like, there's not really a community on WikiFeet, there's definitely a community.
And he wants there to be more of a community.
It might not exist, like, on the WikiFeet website. They probably have, like, Jesus, they probably got the creepiest Discord in America going on. You know what? This is actually... this is what Ron and Jim Watkins were destined to do.
Right.
They would be really good at this wiki. If you saw this, there needs to be a Q documentary, but about this website instead of 8kun.
Yeah.
I would watch that.
I'm actually back on his side. I'm flip-flopping here, but this guy...
Don't say flip-flopping.
Yeah, don't say... You're right. Well, open toe. Do you think he's like a sliders guy? Like the old school, like Adidas?
The Adidas that have bumps on the bottom?
He likes the thong.
I think the thong, because you get a little separation.
Yeah, that's
in it.
True.
The sliders, they're okay.
Right.
But you can't really see the arch in the sliders.
You can't see the arch. But no, what I was going to say is that my favorite thing about the internet is that every little pocket of the internet thinks that the rest of the internet is a bunch of freaks. Like if you go, if you have like a bunch of people who spend all their time on Reddit, or a bunch of people who spend all their time on Twitter or the YouTube comments, they think everyone else is like, could you imagine being on Twitter all day? It's like, but you're doing wiki feed all day.
We're uploading strangers' feed.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of the world's problems would be solved if everyone just realized that like we're all kind of losers if you're online a lot, and it's okay.
What do you think they did way, way back in the day? If you grew up in like a super rural community and you had a foot fetish, you didn't have the internet, you had like maybe three people that you saw on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
and two of them were your family members, the other was like the guy that lived across the street or whatever.
Do you have a pool?
No, you don't have a pool.
Oh.
No. So what do you just...
Because that's just like a honey trap.
Do you think people knew that they had a foot fetish? Or do you think that they would just like sit back and close their eyes and imagine a foot?
Mm.
Like Spank Bank stuff.
This is like the question of, you know how they used to outlaw like kids writing left-handed?
No.
Yeah, they used to basically not let like kids do things left-handed.
Satanic.
And yeah. Then when they started letting people do like be naturally lefties, a rise in lefties happened. Everyone's like, well, where did all these lefties come from? It's like, well, we suppressed them.
Yeah, so
we've been suppressing foot fetishes.
It's which came first, before
right.
the rise of the internet and like the photograph even.
Yeah.
Did people have foot fetishes?
Do you think if this guy grows up in like Toronto, he has a foot fetish? Because I think the pool really has a lot more to do with it than he lets on.
He had access to feet at a young age.
Always.
Yeah,
that is a pool. He basically... It'd be like, why are you addicted to cocaine? Well, I grew up next to Club, 54.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Well, I grew up in Medellin.
Yeah, right. Is that what Club 54?
Studio 54.
Studio 54.
Yeah.
There we go. That's like, it's, dude, you had access to feet.
Yeah, if you
constantly.
Grew up in Canada, you probably, or it might become like more of the forbidden fruit.
Oh, so you got to grow up somewhere in like.
Because you only
Ohio.
See. You only see.
Although
you know,
Ohio seems
maybe like five bare feet a week.
Yeah.
On a good week.
Yeah.
You just hang out. Like by the rink at the ice skating rink waiting for people to change.
Yes. All right. Back to the questions. Do you ever think about how it might be a bit invasive to take someone's personal photos and put them on a fetish site without their knowledge or consent, that some people might be unsettled by that? That's a great question.
Yes, I do think that, except I can't call up Jennifer Aniston and ask. But it does cross my mind because I have five sisters and six nieces.
Wait, no. Three sisters.
Two of them passed, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I guess not everybody would be kosher with it. Believe me, it crosses my mind. I do have a conscience. I think people seem to have a good sense of humor about it.
No.
I mean, you obviously do. Some celebrities say it's a badge of honor.
Yeah, a lot. That happens all the time. Quentin Tarantino.
I love that this guy just dropped numbers on her head, being like, I got 11 women that I know that I'm personally related to. Those are numbers.
Uh-huh. I'm looking up all of our names, by the way, right now in WikiFeet to see if we're on there.
I mean, once upon a time in Hollywood when it's just like her feet. That
yeah,
was one of the craziest
up.
Things.
This
I know there's
fun.
A bunch
this
of
This is all
him,
making
but.
Me uncomfortable.
Visit right. WikiFeet Men.
All right. I'll do the next question.
Okay, yeah.
I noticed that WikiFeet has pretty strict rules. Actually, these are kind of boring questions. Let's get to the better questions. What are the best feet you've ever seen?
Marilyn Monroe, Kate Beckinsale, Laura Bassett. I'm ASS kissing baby. Grace Kelly, Rita Hayworth. Oh my God, I love her.
Oh, okay. You've posted Rita's feet?
Yeah, I did, but she's gone, so I don't think she gives a SHIT.
That's a good point.
Do you rate women's feet on WikiFeet?
WikiFeet? Yes.
Do you ever rate them poorly?
No, you know why? And this is silly. Like, I know these people, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. If they're ugly, I just don't go there again.
Wow. Okay.
They have a merch section on their website here.
Okay.
Don't drink in WikiFeet. That's on a sweatshirt that they have.
Okay.
Dave's on the website.
Okay.
There are seven pictures of Dave's feet on the website.
Surprising.
He probably put them on there himself.
Yeah. What are your main interests besides feet and the Yankees?
Live music. The last concert I went to was Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul at the Beacon Theater. November of 2019, just before I got this damn heart surgery that almost killed me.
Ooh, you almost died.
Yeah, I had a quadruple bypass, and it was a heck of a lot of fun. But you know what? When I was in Florida in the hospital, I've had a couple of surgeries. I had the nurse coming in at night showing me her feet. I actually took her out to dinner a couple times. I can just get girls out of their shoes. It's a thing I can do.
Holy shit.
I love that, the foot whisperer.
All right,
yeah, so, he might be Quentin Tarantino. This might be the cue man.
All right, so I'm going to land here on this guy. I think he's right. It's not robbing a bank. I do think that he should stop, like, seemingly stalking Instagram of women. He should probably stop doing that.
Agreed.
I'm cool with him having a foot fetish, but maybe just don't. Just be a passive foot fetish guy. Like, look at Wiki. Don't upload.
That's the part I don't get, because there's something else to the fetish that goes beyond just enjoying looking at feet. When you're like, I know 700 horny guys that will also want
to. He wants friends.
Wiki feet is his group chat.
Right, exactly. So we need to get him friends, and then he'll just be, again, a passive feet guy.
Yeah, I wonder what would happen if you just put this guy, if you took away the internet from him, took away his phone, and just put him and like five buddies on a beach with an open bar, if he would like, you know, if he would go crazy being like, I need to share these feet with somebody, if he would like start drawing pictures of the feet, or if he would just be able to enjoy himself like a regular human being.
Yeah, he actually should just go be like a bartender at a pool in Miami.
Oh, that's the life.
Right? Uh-huh. Like, that's, think about that. Like, if you were a super, let's hypothetically.
He should be a shoe salesman.
Hypothetically, PFD, if you were like a super horny guy.
Yeah, okay.
Hypothetically.
I'm going to do some method acting.
Hypothetically.
Done.
Right. If you were a super, super horny guy, like, you would probably find a job that like could get you, you know, looking at women and being horny all the time.
Right, like if working for a website that posted like bikini shots or something.
Correct.
Like that.
Yeah, correct.
I would.
Editor for JT.
Hypothetically, I would, yes. So this guy, he should work, if he's a lawyer or whatever, he would trade it all in a heartbeat to go work at Foot Locker.
Yes, he should do it. He should absolutely do it. Or like a bowling alley. Watch, like, hey, let me see those feet real quick.
Well, I don't know.
The size of your feet.
The bowling alley is tough because it's all behind you. They do get very smelly. I think that most foot fetish guys probably have a smellier the better philosophy too, where they like to smell them. I don't know. What do you think? Why are you guys laughing at that?
Yeah, hey, are you laughing at our laughing of a foot fetish?
No, no.
Our fetish is to make fun of the foot fetishes.
I think bowling alley might be your best bet because it guarantees that people have to take their socks off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're getting the guaranteed flesh.
Yeah. Oh, being a bartender at a sushi restaurant. Everyone takes their shoes off when they come inside.
Mm-hmm. But socks.
There it is.
Socks are like your worst enemy.
Yeah, socks are bad.
Banned socks.
Yeah, banned socks.
Right? Socks are
cap. He hates socks. He's like doing a sock burning.
Uh-huh.
He's just buying them all up and burning
no
them.
No shirt, no socks, no service.
Less socks in this world. All right, that is our show. Great show. We got Bill Burr on Wednesday.
Ooh, get excited.
Get some great guests coming up. All right, let's pick numbers. Billy, you got a fact? 99.
8.
34. No, 35.
18.
35. 66.
The San Francisco garter snake is very endangered and is worth the Google.
84.
Randy Moss.
There
love
it
you
is.
Guys. Love you guys. Hank, is the podcast up yet?
84 now tied for 5 times the most ever with 52.
Talking away. Well, I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is my day to find you shying away. Well, I'll be coming for your love, okay? Take on me. Take me on.
She was a rich woman. She had rich taste. She felt the blood running through her veins.
I'll be.
Big cats and the beauty of being untamed.
Needless to say, I'm on set ends, but I'm
everything was fine, just as sweet as wine. But her husband went and disappeared.
Tumbling away, learning life is okay.
And it got a little crazy, it got a little hazy, and the cops
Well, it's no better to be safe than sorry.
Oh, here come me. Mama's got some treats for you.
Oh, I'll be gone.
You can't find this taste in the zoo. Oh, here
come me.
Mama can't
take me.
Oh, here
I'll be gone.
Mama made
it.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.